Okay, thanks. Now, I want to tell you about a new theory concerning the origin of the primordial density perturbations in the universe. It's four-dimensional field theory, and I'll try to explain why I believe that we should look to four-dimensional field theory for the origin of the perturbations. So about the history, before 1980, of course, there was no theory about the origin. Around 1980, cosmic strings were proposed. Very soon after, it was proposed that instead it would be the vacuum fluctuation of the inflaton field. And our hypothesis is it's not, it's the vacuum fluctuation of some curvaton field that's not the inflaton. So I only have time for the observational aspect of things. After a brief description of the model, I'll point out that the spectral index is probably going to be very close to one, not for sure. That non-Gaussianity is quite generic in this paradigm. And very exciting, primordial isocurvature perturbations in CDM or baryons or neutrinos are also generic. And items 3 and 4, at least, they're in sharp contrast to the inflaton hypothesis. This subject doesn't have a very long history. Silvio Molerac in 1990 first noticed the basic mechanism of converting an isocurvature perturbation into a curvature one. She incorrectly thought that the conversion must be complete and would therefore eliminate the isocurvature perturbation, which was regarded as a negative result because people were trying to get isocurvature perturbations. Andre Linde and Mukhanov, I think, independently came across the idea. And emphasized the non-Gaussianity. And then David Wands and I discovered it for a third time. And we became quite excited about it. And the talk is based on our latest paper and another one that will come out soon. There are more papers in preparation, especially about the particle physics. George Lazaridis, Costas Dimopoulos, who's here. There's exciting particle physics going on about the early universe. And we've almost completed a paper. You see, if we liberate inflation from the requirement that it must produce the density perturbation, then it's a lot easier to build models of inflation. In particular, modular inflation. Modular inflation where we use something like a string T modulus, very, very difficult to do in the normal way, becomes very, very attractive. I would say probably one of the most attractive models of inflation is to use a string modulus. But I don't have time to talk about that. So what's the basic idea about the model? The inflaton field itself is supposed to give a negligible perturbation. People who know about these things will realize that that means that the scale of inflation ought to be low if inflation is caused by a slowly rolling field. That's not essential, by the way, for us. But if it is, then we get that bound on inflation, and we heard the other day that that means that we're never going to observe gravitational wave signal in the CMB. So that's the first prediction of the model. So what happens in the model? As usual, cosmological scales leave the horizon during almost exponential inflation in four dimensions. The beautiful thing about that is that all three massless fields, and the curvaton is supposed to be one of them, that's the second derivative of the potential in the direction of the sigma field, much less than h squared. All of these fields get a perturbation with a flat spectrum. And all we have to do is convert one of those into the primordial density perturbation. We get the flat spectrum that observation requires. And that's why it seems to me that as we go back in time, we should stay in four dimensions until we get to inflation, because there isn't any other obvious way of getting the flat spectrum. Of course, the extra dimensions and the stringy physics are very, very important, hopefully, in fixing the field theory. Field theory by itself is too wide, so we need to know what kind of field theory we're dealing with. But it should be 4D field theory. Then, after inflation, the curvaton oscillates. That means that there's mass density due to the curvaton. The mass density falls like scale factor to the power minus 3. And so after reheating, when the bulk of the energy density comes from radiation, that means that the curvaton density increases relatively. And finally, the curvaton decays. And this should happen when the fraction of energy density due to the curvaton is bigger than 10 to the minus 5. We'll see why in a minute. And then afterwards, everything thermalizes, except possibly CDM. So that's the model. So it's kind of like an axion, except that the axion survives to the present, of course. That's the crucial difference. So what about the curvature perturbation? Well, the prediction is that the curvature perturbation is that ratio, the fraction of curvaton density, times the fractional perturbation in the curvaton density, which of course can't be bigger than 1, and that's why R must be bigger than 10 to the minus 5 to give us the required 10 to the minus 5 value for the curvature perturbation. And since the energy density is proportional to the field squared, that's approximately twice delta sigma over sigma. And then that's related to the quantity during inflation by some factor Q that parameterizes the evolution of the curvaton field. So the star denotes inflation. So the spectrum is that, the famous H over 2 pi for the spectrum of the perturbation of the curvaton field. The spectral index is this, to be compared with 2 eta minus 6 epsilon. Epsilon is h dot over h squared during inflation. Eta is the parameter I defined before, v d2 v d sigma squared divided by h squared, evaluated during inflation. And since both of those parameters have to be much less than 1, and since let's take them in turn. We're probably near the top of the potential during inflation, or near a minimum, in which case epsilon will be extremely small anyway. And in most models of inflation, it's the second derivative of the potential that gives the spectral index. And because in some sense we're near the end of inflation, that can usually not be extremely small. But now the curvaton has nothing to do with inflation, and since it's certainly got to be much less than 1 for the model to work, why should it not be 10 to the minus 2, 10 to the minus 3, 10 to the minus 5? There's no reason why it should be comparable with 1. So I guess the spectral index is very close to 1 in the model. Now, about non-Gaussianity, since the density is proportional to sigma squared, sigma is Gaussian, the field, but we can work out this famous non-linearity parameter, the non-Gaussianity, and it's basically just 1 over R. So the present bound tells us that R could be very small, but after MAP we'll know that it's bigger than 6% of the total, the curvaton density, bigger than 6% of the total, or we'll detect it. And after Planck, we know it's bigger than 20% of the total or detected. So the isocurvature perturbations are the most interesting bit. Let me remind you about the definition of those. They're defined at the primordial epoch, which is actually very late, when the temperature is about KV, when cosmological scales are coming into the horizon. There's the CDM isocurvature density perturbation, the baryon matter isocurvature perturbation. Now, this isn't so well known. If there's a lepton number, then there's a perturbation in it that's entirely analogous to the baryon perturbation. And the usually defined quantity, the neutrino perturbation, can actually be related to the lepton number perturbation. And it's obviously multiplied by the lepton number itself. That's in this paper with David, which doesn't seem to have been realized before, or hasn't been written down before. Now, of course, if this lepton number is 10 to the minus 11, like the baryon number, that means we're never going to get a neutrino isocurvature perturbation. But it could be as big as 10% if we accept the large mixing angle solution to solar neutrino, or even bigger if we don't accept that, and in which case we can get a healthy neutrino isocurvature perturbation. Now, the thing about this model is that we can get an isocurvature perturbation even if the density of CDM or baryon or lepton number depends only on the local values of the curvaton and the radiation density. It doesn't have to be specific to the mechanism. In the case of CDM, for example, we don't have to assume its axions, which is normally necessary to get an isocurvature perturbation. In the case of baryogenesis, we don't have to assume its biaflet dyne, which again is usually what's necessary. It's independent of the mechanism. And so we call these residual perturbations, and we're assuming that they're the only kind around. And they're fully correlated with the curvature perturbation. And so what we need to do for observation is to bound the three constants. In the case of lepton, of course, it's multiplied by the lepton number density. And as I'll explain, one, two, or all three may be non-zero. So we actually have to do seven jobs when we're comparing map or whatever with theory. We can have a one-parameter space in one of them. That's three possibilities. We can have a two-parameter space in any two of them. That's another three possibilities. Or we can allow all three, and that's the seventh possibility. So we need bounds on these x's in all three cases. So the last thing I'm going to do is give the predictions of the curvaton model, and also what's presently known about the bounds on the x's, which comes from just one paper. So there's a lot of work to do here. So what are the predictions? If the CDM, or the baryons, or the lepton number, is created after the curvaton decays, then there won't be any residual perturbation. It's the same as in the inflationary scenario. If, in contrast, the relevant quantity is caused by the decay of the curvature on itself, then you can calculate that the constant is given by this number. Remember, R is the fraction of total density due to the curvature at the time of curvature decay, between 10 to the minus 5 and 1. And so there's this one paper, Amendola, Gordon, Wands, and Sasaki, that is relevant for this these correlated perturbations. And we figure out that for CDM, the curvature must contribute more than 90% of the total at decay, and for baryons it must contribute more than 60% at decay. That's the only thing that's been done. One non-zero CDM or non-zero baryon, so only two of the seven possibilities have been done. Now, when we get around to neutrinos, it'll become very interesting, because then the constant X defining the neutrino isocurvature density is correlated with the non-Gaussianity through that formula. So that's another correlation that has to be taken into account in the fits. Third possibility then, suppose the CDM or baryon electron number is created before the curvature decays and at a time when the curvature density is much less than the total. Suppose that's the case. Then we figure out the constant is simply minus 3. In the case of CDM, that's completely forbidden. So, for example, in the curvature model, I can't create the CDM right after inflation, like in the classic Wimp-Zille model. We could create it after thermal inflation, like the model of Lamhui and Stewart, but not in the classic Wimp-Zille model. In the case of baryons, it's marginally allowed, or was when the fit was done, but almost certainly MAP will either detect or rule out that minus 3 for the baryons. And the fourth case is more complicated then. Before curvature decay, that should be of order. By definition, rho sigma is less than rho. So we're concerned with the case when the curvature density dominates the energy density, or is comparable with the total amount of energy density at decay. And then it gets interesting, because we need to know exactly what the initial density depends on. So let's focus on CDM, for instance. Is it produced by the decay of a particle? In that case, it will depend on the local age of the universe. And that is a definite function of the curvature and total energy densities. Is it produced by a field oscillation? In that case, it occurs at a definite value of the local expansion rate, which is simply the local energy density. So that's an easy one to work out. Is it CDM from freeze-out, from thermal equilibrium? That's the most complicated case that we actually haven't figured out yet. But in general, we expect that the constant will be somewhere between minus 3 and 0. That's a generic expectation, except possibly the last case. So by bounding X, we get a handle on the early universe in the curvature model. Nope, no minutes left. Summary. So that's it. I didn't have time to talk about the very interesting early universe stuff. And the conclusions in the curvature model, no gravitational waves. I would say spectral index very close to 1. Generic non-Gaussianity. If we don't detect it, then that means that CDM, baryons, and leptons are all created late compared with the epoch of curvature decay, basically. Okay, that's it.
some point, that field will not make it into the university, will it, like, I don't see how you're...
Sorry, I don't understand the question. What is the point being made?
Why is the field not being defined?
Well, the...
It has to have a flat potential in order to give the right answer to the density.
Yes.
At some point, it's going to dominate the density universe, so how is it going to differ from ordinary inflation?
Well, it's more like the axion. We're familiar with the idea that the axion is a field different from the inflaton and could be responsible for the dark matter and could have an isocurvature perturbation. You see, the curvaton is not coupled to the inflaton. That's the key thing. It's a free, uncoupled field.
I'm a bit confused about the non-Gaussian. It looks like, if I understand these models, the primordial perturbations are basically quadratic in a Gaussian field.
Yes.
So if that's the case for CDM, we know that that's excluded by...
Oh no, it's a constant plus... It's a linear plus a quadratic part.
Okay.
The coefficient of the quadratic part being precisely this FNL that I defined.
So we know for the cold dark matter that that quadratic part has to be very small.
Yes.
Because of observations of the galaxy wide spectrum.
That's right. If it were equal, then F would be 10 to the fifth. And so, you know, to say F is 10 cubed, that means that the non-Gauss, the quadratic part, is less than 1% of the... And it's okay. You see, the density of the curvaton is a constant part plus the perturbation. And so if the constant part dominates, then the linear term in the perturbation will dominate and we'll have a Gaussian density perturbation.
I have a question. So I understand axion isocurvature inflation. You have a spectator field that has density, it has a perturbation,
right.
And when the axion becomes dominant,
right.
So, what's the different here that gives me curvature perturbation?
Well, as a matter of fact, when the axion, when large-scale perturbations enter the horizon after matter domination, then that isocurvature perturbation does actually turn into a curvature perturbation, but it's not a primordial one. So the difference between the axion case is just like the axion, except that it comes to dominate the energy density earlier, and then it decays. That's the difference.
In every one might express something like this decay very early on. You need some kind of suppression to make decay somewhat later.
Yeah, the decay rate should be significantly less than the mass. 10 to the minus 2, 3, 4. It should be a bit suppressed, so it should be a gauge singlet with moderately suppressed Yukawa couplings. Yeah. I should have mentioned the right-handed scalar neutrino is a candidate.
Another question. You said that since the density perturbation comes from the curvaton,
yes.
But the density perturbations from the inflaton depend on V and V prime.
Yes, but it's V to the half divided by V prime over V. The V prime goes on the bottom, and it's got to be less than 1. So if I say that the perturbation is proportional to V to the half, that's a lower limit. You see, if I say it's less than 1%, then for sure V to the half has to be less than 1%. Yeah, I was just assuming that epsilon was less than 1.
Okay, well, thank you.